and verse 13. And looking at this verse, Matthew 5 and verse 13, with the idea that we are to have an impact upon this earth. When I say we, speaking to and about Christians. And so Matthew 5:13, the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it," and that's the earth, "wherewith shall the earth be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing," that's the salt now, "but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Let me read it again. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." So I want to look at this idea, this thought of what salt is good for, what it's about, and I want to draw it just to, we're to have an impact. We are not just to, "Oh, I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Let's go to church. Let's rejoice in the fact that we're in church," and all of that. We are to go out and we're to be salty on society. We're to be Christian and distinctly Christian on society. And so let's think about that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your goodness. I thank you for all that you do for us. God, I pray that as we look at this message, we'll just take some thoughts and ideas about salt. God, especially as we look in the next week to 8 or 9 days, God, there's an election coming up. We can have an impact. But Father, it's not just about this week. It's about every day. God, this world needs you. Our town is what we directly impact. God, through missions, we have the opportunity to impact places around the world. But God, for us directly, it's our neighbors. It's our coworkers. It's the people that we meet and greet. It's our door knocking. It's what we can do to be an impact for you. And God, I pray that you would help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let's look who said it. Jesus Christ makes the statement. He obviously came from heaven to be salt in this earth. He declared himself to be, he said, "I am the light of the world." He later on turns to his disciples and said, "Now ye are the light of the world." He gave that transfer. As Jesus Christ came down to this earth, there is no doubt that he was salty in this earth. The impact of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has had more impact than any other single person that has ever lived in all of history. Why? Because he was God the Son of God, and God the Son, 100% God and 100% man. And he makes this statement to his disciples, and as he talks to them, he often addresses the 12. Sometimes that group is somewhat larger than that, but he looks at them and he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Ye are. He does not look at this and say, "Ye will become." We cannot look at this and say, "Well, someday down the road, I am going to be salty. Someday down the road, I'll be more of a Christian. I'll have more of an impact." If you are saved tonight, you have instruction and you have been given a mandate by the Lord Jesus Christ to say, "Ye are the salt of the earth." You are to have an impact in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ, for righteousness, for holiness. It is a duty that is given to us. And then we look and say, well, to whom was it said? It was said to the disciples. Now, were these disciples perfect people? Absolutely not. You could go through and you could read the things and you could find out the problems that the disciples had. But you know what? Jesus Christ looked at them and said, "You know me. Ye are the salt of the earth. It's your job. As bad as you may be, you're what this world has. And we can look at it, and there ain't a one of us that should get a prideful thought in our head and think, oh, I'm something. No, we're sinners saved by grace, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd all be on our way to hell. But since we're saved, we have been given the duty to be salty in this earth and to try to use the influence and the impact and the voice that we have for God's goodness in this earth. This earth is not here for us, we're here for it. We're not to be going and say, what can this earth or what can this world give me? We're to be looking at it saying, what can I do to impact this world? And that is something that Jesus Christ gave to us. Let me give you four facts about salt in general. And first one is this: salt does no good in the shaker. Hey, you know what? I've got me here a bland piece of steak. It's got nothing on it. Boy, it's been cooked to perfection, but anything can use a little salt, can't it? You get some potatoes, what do they need? A little bit of salt. You get some meat, what does it need? A little bit of salt. You get some green beans, what does it need? A little bit of salt. You know what? There's not much in this world that doesn't need some salt. And so you look at it and say, honey, pass the salt, please. And you set the salt down next to your plate. And you cut that steak. So, oh, this is good now. You take the salt, and depending on what kind of shaker you've got, you take it and you grind it. That's the one I like. Grind that pink salt all over that. And pink salt, by the way, is supposed to be good for you. It's not that refined stuff that kills you. It's got all the good stuff in it, and you grind that on there, and oh, you cut it, and it's good. But if it's just in the shaker, it doesn't do any good there. No, it's available. And so would it be if a Christian is just a Christian in the church house. You could look at this building and say, this is the shaker. We're in it tonight. Where are you going to be tomorrow? What are you going to do for the Lord tomorrow? What kind of an impact are you going to have on society tomorrow? Well, we can sit in the church and we can be all, hurrah, thank God that I'm saved. And we can then be in our home and we can say, boy, I'm sitting in my home and my home's my castle and everything's good in my home and I thank God I'm saved. Those are all great things. But look, let's get out of the shaker and let's have an impact on society. Salt does not do any good if it's just in the shaker. Secondly, salt is no good without coming in contact. This is very similar. Okay, so take the salt. Let's shake it on the plate beside the meat. You look at it, what is it? It needs to come in contact to do its job. Now, whether that salt is preserving or flavoring or keeping, whatever it may be, the salt doesn't do any good unless it comes in contact. Now, we know that we are not to be worldly. We know that we are in the world, we're not to be of the world. But if we do not come in contact with lost people, then ultimately we aren't doing any good. And you think about that and you look at that and you say, look, I want to have a desire within the week to get out of the shaker and to get out and I want to come in contact with somebody before next Sunday and I want to have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can look at it and say, I want to have an impact for righteousness in general. I want to have an impact for holiness. Let me just remind you, righteousness and holiness come through Jesus Christ. You know, we could try our best to influence people for conservatism. And oh, we'll be happy about that. We'll be happy if the vote goes the right way and if things conservative people get in office and all of those kind of things. But ultimately, what changes lives, or who changes lives, I should say, is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to say the what, it'd be salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what changes lives. Now, unfortunately, we live in a society where it seems like churches are more impacted by the world than the world is by churches. And the churches, again, are the people. So we want to get out and let's come in contact sometime this week with some lost person and let's share the gospel with them to the best that we can. And you look at it and they might say, oh, I'm not interested. Okay, well, at least you made contact. If you make contact, you will have some level of impact. Salt, thirdly, is used up in order to be effective. You know what? You dump it on, what happens? In the shaker, it gets lower. That salt doesn't return back to the shaker. It gets on the food, it has an impact, and then it goes into the mouth, and your mouth just enjoys it. Or it preserves whatever it's preserving, and you get the benefit of that. But salt gets used up. Go to Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Mark chapter 8, verse 35, as the Lord Jesus Christ makes this statement. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. We need to look and say, God, use me. And as long as you sit back and say, well, this is my life, I thought it was bought with a price. I thought that you were purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you something beyond this physical life. He gave eternal life. So when we look at this and say, well, this is my life, I'm going to live for me, you're not going to be very salty. Not going to have much of an impact. We need to be willing to be used by the Lord. And in the doing of that, are we going to lose some of our time? Well, look, all of our time is given to us by God anyway. And God has given us beyond this life. Again, this life is what? A centimeter on a 100-meter rope? And you're going to say, oh, I don't want to give too much of my time to the Lord. Wouldn't want to do that, would we? You know, a million years from now, what is this 100 that you're going to live going to matter that much? We can get awful selfish with our time, can't we? And so we look at it and we say, look, I want to be used up in order to be effective. And that salt is going to get used up. And guess what? You're going to have to go down to the store. You're going to have to purchase some more. Yes, we have a life. And that life is limited in the number of years that we have here on this earth. And one thing you'll never regret is what you did for the Lord Jesus Christ. Plenty of regrets from other things. But you won't regret what is done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, fourthly, salt is no good if it loses its savor. Back in Matthew chapter 5, it says this, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it, the earth, be salted? It is henceforth, the salt is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. If salt loses its savor, nobody much wants it. If salt loses its savor, it makes no difference. Sometimes salt, it just sits too long and just becomes kind of unsalty. You've heard me tell before, you know, when we first went to Belarus, you walk into a restaurant and there's a bowl of open salt sitting on the table, and everybody just dips their fingers in, takes some, and sprinkles it on their food. And the next person comes and sits there and dips their fingers in, sprinkles it on the food. And, you know, 3 weeks later, it's the same dish. And that dish is getting more and more crusty all the time. And I'm telling you what, sometimes that salt had lost its savor or lost the savorability. Like, I want to use it. But salt kills everything, right? But you know what? If it makes no difference, if it is no different, it makes no difference to those around it. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Mark 9, verse 50 says this, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness..." Isn't that interesting? "Wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another." The thing is, as Christians, if we're going to be the salt and we're going to make a difference, we've got to be a little different. We've got to look and say, you know what? I have to be distinctly Christian. The idea is that we go out there in this world and we have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian people ought to be the most honest people. They ought to be the most clean living people. They ought to be the best workers. They ought to be polite and kind. Christians ought to be Christian. The Spirit of God is what makes us salty. We're instructed with the Holy Spirit not to grieve Him, not to quench the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29, the Holy Spirit of God works in us to make us different. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Boy, couldn't our world use a little bit of that, huh? But if we, in verse 29, it says, concerning the Holy Spirit and us, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." You mean none? No little white lies? No. Christians don't lie. I'm not saying Christians can't lie. If you're going to be Christ-like, you're not lying. Profanity? I get tired of people call themselves Christians using profanity. Blasphemy. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Bad jokes? "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So when we let bad communication come out of our mouth, we do grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and we lose our saltiness. "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So we look at this and we're like, we have the Holy Spirit of God. We're sealed by Him. The day that you got saved, He moved in and took residence up in your life, and you are to go out and let's be salty. Some of you have lost relatives. You have a chance to be salty. Demonstrate to and before them that Jesus Christ has changed your life and that you want to live for Him. Let that salt, boy, you're going to come in contact. You live in the same household. And you have an opportunity to be that salt for your husband or your wife or your relative. Then you go neighbors, you go co-workers, and it expands out and we're to be salty. You know that salt can look like salt and still have lost its savor. See, we're not looking at, I want to fit the bill. I want to look the part. We're looking and saying, I want the Holy Spirit of God working in my heart to make me salty in this earth. God, I want you. I want to live by the book. I have a desire. God, help me to go out and be different and to point others toward you. How can salt lose its savor? One thing is foreign substances get added to it. Dirt, grime, whatever it may be. It's like, I don't want to use that salt. The Bible warns us Jude warned us, as we go out in the world, we aren't to let the world affect and impact and change us. We're to change the world. As we go out and witness to people, we're not adopting what they have to offer. We're offering something different, something that they're not going to get elsewhere. Christians, society is so full of everything. And there's so little, to be honest, so little interaction and contact with people, the world in general. The Christians, even though they may be right, there's no interaction left. And the devil is all about that. And we've got to find ways to make contact, but as we go out to make contact, we can't go out and be just as dirty as they are. One of the things that kept my brother-in-law from getting saved for the longest time is like, I live better than the people that call themselves Christians. Now, he finally got saved. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that helped him to get saved was his wife got a little more salty. Not perfect, but a little more salty. And it started to have an impact. And she started to realize, you know what? This life's not going to last forever. And eventually he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But if Christians were salty and had the savor, we would have more of an impact in the world. And then salt that just sits for too long turns into a hard lump. People that don't use much salt, sometimes they put other things in the salt shaker. Rice or one of those little packets or something. Why? You know, I don't have to worry about that. Salt, let's salt it. But if it just sits too long and does not, it just turns into a lump. Christians who never witness get pretty comfortable never witnessing. Christians who never give out a tract get pretty comfortable never giving out a tract. Christians who have lost their savor get pretty comfortable with the fact that, oh, I'm good, I'm on my way to heaven. And they lose the thought that that person may not be. And look, just because a person says that they are, we can't always just believe that. Look for fruit. Continue to witness. If there's not evidence of salvation, continue to witness. Continue to try. So, I'm saved. Well, hey, come on out to church. Saved people ought to come to church, right? Continue to be after it. Well, tell me about when you got saved. Well, I don't really want to talk about it. Man, what? Are you saved? Y'all don't want to talk about it. Well, what difference did Jesus make in your life? And well, we've got to look for these opportunities. They aren't just there. But if we get used to just enjoying our Christian life without having contact, without being savory, what happens? We're just going to turn into a lump. Churches that lose their savor, they turn into a lump, and you'll see no new people coming in. It's the same lump, and different ones pass away, and the lump shrinks, and pretty soon the church just shrivels up to nothingness. The lump gets smaller and smaller and smaller. We've got to continue to be an outreaching church. We've got to continue to go out and be salty in this world. So that's some facts about salt. What does salt do? Salt preserves. One of the first things that it does, and I've seen things as you think about, boy, an EMP could strike. We'd lose our refrigerators. We'd lose our freezers and all of this kind of stuff. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not a prepper. Okay? But I do know this. I've watched two or three little videos on how to preserve your meat with salt. You know what? If your freezer goes out and you've got salt on hand, you can preserve your meat with salt. Salt is a preserver. And that meat, you can do the process. I don't know what the process is. I watched the video and it escapes. If the EMP hits, guess what? I won't be able to look up the video. Let's go from memory, folks. But I do know this, salt preserves. Let me show you something in the scripture. This has come up, this idea of, well, should Christians really get involved in the political realm? Well, let me ask you something. Are we here to help preserve? Are we here to hinder sin? Are we here to help promote righteousness, to promote holiness? Obviously, first and foremost, that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we can make an impact for right versus wrong, should not and do not we have the obligation to do it? When he says, ye are the salt of the earth, what are we? The salt of the earth. Let me show you something. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 6, 7, and 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, and 8. Talking about the coming of the Antichrist. And it says this in verse number 6, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. He's saying, look, there's something that is stopping the Antichrist from being revealed right now. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Is there plenty of evil, plenty of the spirit of Antichrist in the world? Absolutely. Is the Antichrist in the world? Don't think so. Now, he may be, but he's not revealed. He won't be revealed as long as something is at work. It says, only he who now letteth will let. Now, that word letteth means to hinder. Okay, it's an old English word. I'm going to teach you what it means. We can learn definitions, right? Okay, he who now letteth, he who now hinders, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. What does old English word letteth mean? Say it with me, to hinder. To hinder. Okay, so he who now letteth will let. He who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked, capital W, is the Antichrist, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The Antichrist will be revealed. The Antichrist will work fairly freely in this world until Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation time and he consumes that wicked with his mouth. That's called Armageddon. When Jesus Christ comes and the battle will take place. And the Antichrist will have his armies and Jesus is going to come with 10,000s of his saints. And guess what? We're coming with him. So the Antichrist won't be revealed until whatever is hindering him is taken out of the way. Now, you read different people, and somebody says, well, the Holy Spirit is what's hindering the Antichrist. Somebody will say, well, the church is what's hindering the Antichrist. Well, guess what? Where does the Holy Spirit live? In you. Okay, so if the Holy Spirit goes, so goes the church. And if the church goes, so goes the Holy Spirit. So I don't really care whether it's the Holy Spirit or the church. I just know this. We as Christians are the salt of the earth. Can you fathom every Bible-believing, born-again Christian? Those who are right and those who are backslidden, all of a sudden, everybody that's saved is gone from this earth. Can you fathom how wicked this world is going to get real fast? No believers, no saved people, nobody standing up preaching, thus saith the Lord. Look. Now I want you to think about something. If no Christians voted and no Christians were in politics, where would our country be real soon? Think about it. Every lawmaker elected would be elected by non-believers. That means every law that's going to be made would be made by people that reject this book. You want to talk about this world going bad real quick? And people say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't know if I should vote or not. You better. You think about it. One day, look, we will be taken out. And I would not want to be left living in that world. I mean, you look at the wickedness that we're seeing around us, and the salt's still here. Now, unfortunately, the salt's not doing as good a job as the salt used to do. And that's our fault. And we need to be salty. We have, and we are, to have an impact. So salt preserves, salt heals. Salt heals a lot of ailments because it cleanses. Salt's a cleansing thing. And, you know, I want to look at some things. Our world is, let me go, Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I want to point out before I read, our world is religiously sick. People have religion, but they do not have faith in Jesus Christ. Our world is morally sick. Anybody can look around and see that. Our world is educationally sick. The education system is gone. It's not education anymore, it's indoctrination. Our world is socially sick. You know, from social media and every variant of it, our world is also mentally sick. And we touched on that a little bit this morning. Our world's sick. Chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. I want to just point out some things as we read this first chapter and some bits and pieces from it. Not knowing God and sin make for sickness. Let's recognize verse 3 through 6. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Oh, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, and they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Will ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint from the sole of the foot, even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Get the picture there. He's saying, look, your sinfulness is like a body that is full of open, oozing, infected sores. That's a pretty graphic picture. Untended, infectious sores. That's the way we should view sin in our society. Sin makes for a sick society. Sin's not fun. Ultimately, picture this. Look at drugs. Look at their bodies. People have been on drugs for some time. Look at them. I mean, so many times they're emaciated. Their eyes are sunk in their head. Their teeth are falling out of their mouth. They've got sores all over their body. And that's what sin does. Monkeypox, that's what sin does. And you picture that. Religion without God makes for sickness. So not knowing God, not recognizing who God is, leads to sin, and that leads to sickness. But religion without God makes for sickness. Isaiah 1:10 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Now who's he speaking to? Israel. What did he just call them? Rulers of Sodom. It's about the biggest insult you could say to the nation of Israel. You rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beast. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He says, look, you're living like Sodom and Gomorrah and pretending to serve me. And God says, I can't away with it. Don't approach me. You're living like Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't bring me your sacrifice. You're living like Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't pretend like you're happy that you know God. You don't know me. He says you're living in wickedness like Sodom and Gomorrah. But oh, they were religious. You know, people can be religious and lost. People can be religious and not know God. People can be religious and living in deep sin. And God says, it makes me sick. Religion without God makes for sickness. Corruption makes for sickness. Isaiah 1:21 through 23. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross. Thy wine mixed with water, thy princes are rebellious, and the companion of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. He says, look at the political leadership of the city. He says, they're murderers. Wonder what happened to the cook. Some of you will get that, others will not. The silver has become dross. Princes are rebellious. Their companions are thieves. Everyone loveth gifts. That means they're being bribed, bought. Followeth after rewards. Which way do you want me to vote? You know, it'd be great if society, if the elections were such that people couldn't be bought. Be a good thing. I've often made the statement, I wish Iowa's elections could only receive money, the people running for Iowa offices should only be able to receive money from Iowans. Be a great thing, wouldn't it? I mean, why is California influencing Iowa? It's like, well, they gave me this much and they gave me this much to my campaign. What do you want? How should I vote on this bill? What is it that you're saying? Hey, remember how much I gave you. Corruption makes for sickness. Isaiah 1:16 through 18 gives the answer. Wash you, make you clean. He said, I want your sacrifice. I want you to be clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. By the way, it's not just stopping. You know, so many times Christians get the idea, well, I need to not do this and not do this. But it says learn to do well. We need to trade. Trade the evil for something good. Learn to do well. Let's learn what's right. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus Christ is given the invitation to people saying, look, I've got the answer for sin sickness. I've got the answer for religious sickness. I've got the answer for political sickness. I've got the answer, and the answer is, would you come? Let us reason together. I've died for your sins. I want to save you. I have given my life for you. Would you put your faith and trust in me, and you can be clean? And boy, that's what we need. We need that. The answer is Jesus making us new. In all circumstances, the salt needs to be salty. So the salt preserves, the salt heals, and the salt adds flavor. You know, this world's seeking. I know they're seeking in all the wrong places. But this world's not satisfied. They're seeking in drugs, they're seeking in alcohol, they're seeking in pornography, they're seeking in immorality, they're seeking for, you know, this thing, this thing, this thing. What are they looking for? They're looking for some flavor in life because their life is unsatisfied and unsatisfying, and they're looking for something. So many times people are just looking for the next dopamine fix in their brain. Oh, that we would be satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ, and oh, that Christians would just portray. Look, Christians, we should be thanking God for who we are and what He's done in our lives. And if we go around moping the same way the rest of the world does, we've lost our saltiness. We need to add flavor to this world. The flavor, something different. You know, sin's going to take you down that road. All the sin's going to take you down that road. You know what? We've got something better than that. His name is Jesus. And Jesus changes. Not just, I'm going to add Jesus to all the sin and think that that's going to change things up. No, Jesus changes lives. And so I want to ask you tonight, how salty are you? That's the question of the evening. You are the salt of the earth. How salty are you? We need God's help as a church to be more salty. We can have more of an impact. We can make more contact. We can make a difference. I'm not talking about just voting. I think we ought to get out and vote. Voting is done on a ballot. You can vote. Nobody gets saved because you voted. But I will say this. We need to be salty in every area. Because if more people were saved and more people read the Bible, it would trickle up. Corruption is absolutely natural for human nature, unfortunately. What changes that? Jesus. The Word of God. And that's the frustrating thing that we're seeing now, is so much of this people naming the name of Jesus, and they're as corrupt as those who don't. But we, look, I want you to take everybody else put out of your mind right now. How salty are you? How salty are you? Well, up in Washington, no. It's not where it starts. It starts here. It starts here. How salty are we? Let's stand to our feet. Father, I ask you would help us just to consider right now. God, maybe we used to be salty and we're not as salty anymore. God, help our church to be salty. help us as individuals to be salty. God, deal with us now in the invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the piano plays. Are you salty?